Welcome to another UCTV.tv podcast presented by University of California Television.
My name is Masae Nakamura, and I was born in Hilo, Hawaii. I was the first child born to my parents, and my father had emphasized education as a way to remove some of the discrimination against the Japanese Americans. So he said, you've got to go to school, go to college. And I said, I want to go to UCLA. So that was my dream in high school. And I was accepted, and I was elated. And in September of 41, I entered UCLA.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special news bulletin. The Japanese have attacked Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, by air, President Roosevelt has just announced.
The details are not available. The White House is now giving out a statement.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked. I regret to tell you that very many American lives have been lost.
When December 7th came, I was politically and everything, I was kind of naive. I concentrated on my studies, so I really didn't know what was going on. And when the war broke out, I was just confused.
Evacuation. More than 100,000 men, women, and children, all of Japanese ancestry, removed from their homes in the Pacific Coast states to wartime communities established in out-of-the-way places. Their evacuation did not imply individual disloyalty, but was ordered to reduce a military hazard at a time when danger of invasion was great. Two-thirds of the evacuees are American citizens by right of birth. The rest are their Japanese-born parents and grandparents. The people are not under suspicion. They are not prisoners. They are not internees. They are merely dislocated people, the unwounded casualties of war.
My father called me and said, you have to come home. You have to quit your job. You have to leave UCLA. I was shocked because I didn't realize that something like that would happen. And I hated to leave. I had just begun to make some friends and began enjoying college life. And I just hated the thought of leaving. But, you know, I had to. And so I left, went home, and I was pouting for a while, I think. I think I was pretty hard on my family.
My name is Frank Kaoru Inami. I grew up in a place called Madera. It's a small agricultural community about 20 miles north of Fresno. I left Madera for here at UC Berkeley in August of 1939. When the war started, because of the discrimination that we faced, we sort of expected something to happen. If you were under 21, you had to get your parents' permission to withdraw from Cal. And my birthday is April 25th, 1921. And so I had to get the papers, send it to my dad in Madera, have him sign it, giving me permission to leave Cal. It's kind of irony right there, because we were being forced to leave by presidential order, but we left May the 17th. Dad says, remember this date. So they came, the military police came with rifles, bayonets fixed to make sure we moved. And we got on buses from Madera to Fresno. There was a Fresno Assembly Center there. And they moved us to way across country to Arkansas.
The War Relocation Authority has been more concerned with permanent relocation, getting the evacuees out of the backwaters of the relocation centers into the mainstream of American life, so their labor can help to win the war, so the cost to the taxpayers may be reduced, so there can be no question of the constitutionality of any part of the action taken by the government to meet the dangers of war, so no law-abiding American need to fear for his own freedom. Relocation of the evacuees is not being carried on at the sacrifice of national security. Only those evacuees whose statements and whose acts leave no question of their loyalty to the United States are permitted to leave.
My father, he was the one who said, how do you feel about leaving UCLA? I said, I want to go on to school. You know, I want to be able to say I have a college degree. And he said, yes, I feel that's important. There were some colleges in the Midwest that were accepting internees as students. And so we contacted them and Park College, and they said that they were accepting 9 students from that camp, Santa Anita, and that they had already accepted 7 or 8, and that if I wanted to, I would be able to attend. They would accept my application. So that's how I got into Park College.
I was able to get educational leave to go to Illinois Institute of Technology, which is in Chicago. And I was able to enroll there to finish my junior year in electrical engineering, which I had started here. I got my degree there in June of 1944. I could get neither a commission or I could not get jobs because of my 4C classification. See, enemy alien. So I could not get a security clearance. However, by that time, there were 2 areas that we could join in the Army. The Army was taken. They were forming the 442 Regimental Combat Team for Europe, and the other was for military intelligence, Japanese language. So I volunteered for the Japanese language.
So I was in my second year in Davis there when the war broke out. And I'm a U.S. citizen, I'm American, I was educated and born here. I want to serve. Not because I wanted to fight, but I want to prove certain things, loyalty.
The Americanism of the great majority of America's Japanese finds its highest expression in the thousands who are in the United States Army. Almost half of them are in a Japanese-American combat team created by order of the Secretary of War early in 1943. Some of the volunteers came from Hawaii, some from the eastern part of the United States mainland where there was no mass evacuation. Hundreds of them volunteered while they were in relocation centers. Volunteered to fight against the militarism and oppression of Japan and Germany. They know what they're fighting against, and they know what they're fighting for. Their country, and for the American ideals that are part of their upbringing. Democracy, freedom, equality of opportunity, regardless of race, creed, or ancestry.
During the war, I got married and had a family. So I had to have a family to raise, so education, I had no chance to finish on. I've gone through the College of Hard Knocks. I think that's education itself. That you can't learn that in books. If I had the degree, I think I would have made a lot more money. But that's the thing that has.
The University of California chose not to overlook the fact that many of their former students were unable to complete their UC degree due to the internment. In July 2009, the UC Board of Regents agreed to grant honorary degrees to these Japanese American students.
I confer upon you the UC honorary degree.
Last December, about 50 Japanese Americans donned caps and gowns to receive honorary degrees from the University of California, some 70 years after being forced to leave their respective campuses. In addition, family members accepted honorary degrees for former students who could not attend in person or who have since passed away.
This whole notion of recognizing Japanese Americans who were interned during World War II, who were students at the University of California, really came up. It came out of a request from one campus, at UCSF to be exact, who had a student, Grace Amamiya, who spoke at the Regents meeting. They wanted to honor her.
I was the youngest of five children, and four out of five of us had attended University of California. And from the time I was 8 years old, when my sister started Cal, I said, yes, I want to be a nurse, but I have to go to Cal. I had done the pre-nursing in Berkeley, and then I was over in San Francisco at the UCSF School of Nursing. And of course, when Pearl Harbor happened, we had to leave school. I went to Turlock Assembly Center because the camps weren't ready on the dates that we were supposed to go to camp.
Meanwhile, in Arizona, Utah, Colorado, Wyoming, and elsewhere, quarters were being built where they would have an opportunity to work and more space in which to live. When word came that these new homes were ready, the final movement began.
And then, so then, several months later, when Gila, Arizona camp was opened, I went to Gila, Arizona with my family.
At each relocation center, evacuees were met by an advance contingent of Japanese who had arrived some days earlier and who now acted as guides. Naturally, the newcomers looked about with some curiosity. They were in a new area, on land that was raw, untamed, but full of opportunity.
I felt sort of wondering whether I'd ever be able to finish, because we didn't know where we were going or what was going to happen to us. And when we had to get rid of everything that we owned and all, and could only go with what we could carry, and start really from scratch. And finally, finished up my nurse's training at Rochester, Minnesota, way back in the 40s, after we had to leave California, with the U.S. Cadet Nurse Corps program. And as a senior cadet, I finished up at an Army hospital in the Army Nurse Corps for 6 months.
As a result of their request to us here at the Office of the President, we did some research and found that there was a moratorium on honorary degrees, and it wasn't something that was easily possible to do.
There was a range of options that the task force initially considered, options running from just granting a certificate to the honorary degree. And it is an honorary degree that has language in Latin that basically means returning justice to the groves of academia. So it's a very special kind of honorary degree.
This issue of honoring Japanese Americans is very personal to me, because both my grandparents and parents were interned during World War II. And I think when you meet any Japanese Americans here, Nisei, which are second generation, and Sansei, in very much their first question would reference which camp their families were in. So it's something that's very much a part of the Japanese-American experience. As I was growing up, I was not aware of the internment of Japanese-Americans. In fact, so much so that I was about in middle school when I remember I heard at school about Japanese-Americans going to camp. And at that point, my only reference really was sort of camp, like summer camp. And so I remember very vividly going home that day, and at the dinner table with my mother, father, and my sister, I said, I heard the Japanese Americans went to camp, and I thought it was like summer camp. And I will never forget the expression on my father's face. I have on the wall in my office my father's barrack sign, which he carved out of scrap wood in the camps, and it has our family name and his barrack number. And I found it actually in a scrap pile of wood at my parents' home. and it was all covered in cobwebs, and I don't know if he was going to use it for firewood, but I just thought, oh my goodness, this is part of our family history. And the reason I have it in my office is I think of all the opportunities that I have had that my grandparents, who immigrated from the from Japan, came here, and how difficult it was for them, and then to have the internment happen. And I think of the pride, and I think of the accomplishments that, and think opportunities that I have had that they couldn't have.
I think for the University of California to give these degrees, it's the right thing to do. And sometimes it's good for the university to do the right thing. These people were part of our academic community as students in 1941 and 1942. That relationship was severed. It was severed by actions by the federal government that Congress and the federal government recognized that the actions taken in 1941-42 against the Japanese people were unjust.
This honorary degree program and policy is really important for the University of California because it's one small way that we can really respect the students that we serve and to right a wrong, in a sense, take care of some what has been called unfinished business.
While it doesn't do much for their resumes anymore, it does have a special value.
It's a gesture, and I think that's important.
Over the last seven decades, 87-year-old George Matsumoto never thought he'd get his Cal degree. His studies here were interrupted when he and many other Japanese Americans were forced to relocate in 1942. It was a dramatic change of course for George.
I guess it was just assumed that I would go to Cal. Good reputation, and had a good football team once in a while.
George's father came to the U.S. from Japan in 1904 and graduated from UC Berkeley. George was born and raised in San Francisco, was an excellent student, and entered Berkeley as an architecture student at the age of 16. After Japan attacked Pearl Harbor in December 1941, wartime fears led the government to consider Japanese Americans a national threat. Deep discrimination and distrust were widespread.
There were more Japanese in Los Angeles than in any other area. In nearby San Pedro, houses and hotels, occupied almost exclusively by Japanese, were within a stone's throw of a naval air base, shipyards, oil wells. Japanese fishermen had every opportunity to watch the movement of our ships. Japanese farmers were living close to vital aircraft plants. So, as a first step, all Japanese were required to move from critical areas such as these. But of course, this limited evacuation was a solution to only part of the problem. The larger problem, the uncertainty of what would happen among these people in case of a Japanese invasion, still remained.
It's very difficult when Japan and America fight. It's like a fight between your parents. You love them both. What bothered me was that I couldn't finish my education. And when it was denied, I really wanted it. I really wanted it. What you don't know is the future. What holds for you in the future? And that's the whole thing that was very scary.
His family was sent to a camp in Parker, Arizona. From there, George spent many hours preparing applications to try to get into another university. After only a month, and with the help of UC President Robert Sproul, who spoke out forcefully against the internment policy, George was accepted to Washington University in Missouri. He graduated with honors and went on to become a prominent architect, successful in both private practice and academia.
Congratulations.
Hiromi Matsumoto was a pre-med student at Cal when she and her family were interned. After a year, the Quakers, a religious group known for their social activism, gave Hiromi a scholarship to Mount Holyoke College in Massachusetts. She graduated in zoology, but she had really wanted that Cal degree.
It's very gratifying, and I certainly appreciate the people who worked toward this ceremony.
And her son sees a silver lining.
It's an ironic twist of fate that we would end up in this situation, because I don't think she would have met my father on the West Coast, she, my father on the East Coast, and he was quite a talented, gregarious person, and we're grateful to, you know, have life through that meeting, that fateful meeting of two people.
Duncan Williams, chair of UC Berkeley's Center for Japanese Studies, says the event is much more than simply giving long overdue degrees.
We are honoring their life, both during that time, the kind of strength that they had and the perseverance that they had and the values that they embodied, the same values that Cal as a university has throughout the post-war years, and the fact that they are here today with us means that they honor us as well as us honoring them as a small measure of our appreciation for their life work.
George Matsumoto.
This brief picture is actually the prologue to a story that is yet to be told. The full story will begin to unfold when the raw lands of the desert turn green, when all adult hands are at productive work on public lands or in private employment. It will be fully told only when circumstances permit the loyal American citizens once again to enjoy the freedom we in this country cherish, and when the disloyal, we hope, have left this country for good.
After the war, with incredible forbearance and fortitude, you rebuilt our homes and our communities. Throughout our lives, you guided yourself by one simple precept: Kodomo no tameni. Kodomo no tameni. For the sake of our children. For our sake. You taught us by example the importance of hard work, sacrifice, and service. You helped us build our lives upon your lives. Everything we have accomplished, all the happiness we have felt, was made possible by your sacrifices, by your strength, and your resolve. And for all that you have given us, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Kokoro kara arigato, arigato gozaimasu.
I think that they were a very understanding university, and I think they did all that they could to help us. And I think they truly, truly felt that it was really wrong to have what had happened to us, and they were glad to give us honorary degrees.
I didn't feel any real bitterness. And my father and mother said, well, you know, during a war, that's what happens. That it's important that we keep talking about the internment. I think it's a lesson for future generations and this present generation. They need to know that something like that could happen to any group.
Of course, now getting a degree isn't going to be of much help to me, but the very fact that I'm being recognized for having spent at least 3 years here, and in the middle of the junior year, I'm evacuated, forced to leave, is quite an honor to be given a honorary degree. In fact, someone said, hey, you're going to be class of 2009. I said, yeah, I guess you're right.
If you or someone you know, or someone who is now deceased, was a UC student and was interned during World War II, we invite you to contact us so that we can give you an honorary degree from the University of California and to ask you to participate in an honoring ceremony with us.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.